You are listening to Baking Boss Kitchen Secrets with Naomi Rose, the food business talk show that shares with you the reality of what's happening in the food and hospitality industry. I am on a mission to help as many people as possible grow and build successful food businesses. Each week on this podcast, you'll get useful information, top tips, as well as what's really happening in the kitchen behind the scenes. Let's get on to today's show. Well, hello, wonderful listeners. How are you all doing today? It's Naomi here, and I am your host for today's episode of Baking Boss Kitchen Secrets, or Kitchen Secrets, as it is actually called. Apparently, I am not able to get my words out clearly today, so I'm going to try my best to make sense throughout this podcast. Today is a little bit of a different episode because I'm going to talk about how to host an online cookery, baking course, masterclass, or workshop. Having an online class is a great way to bring in extra income. And the great thing about hosting an online class is you're not limited to the size of the room. You can have as many people on there as you like. It can be unlimited and it can go to more people than just who can make it to your own venue or business, or if you're wherever you're choosing to host a class. It's also a great way to bring in extra income into your business, but you just can't put out a class and then expect people to turn up. It's not like build it and they will come. This is absolutely not what's going to happen with it. You have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan behind it. And you have to make sure you're offering the right thing to the people that are likely to buy. And what is it they're going to buy? I'm going to talk about some of the practicalities of hosting an online class, what you have to consider, things to think about, and basically how to actually sell an online masterclass, because that's the important bit. If you can't sell it, then you're not hosting it, and you could put a lot of effort and a lot of work in to creating it before you actually get there. So this is something I've been doing for a while, and as regular listeners to this podcast will know, I'm a bit of a tech nerd. I love tech. I love online. My business is mostly online these days. So I know a little bit about these things, and I've also hosted baking classes online. I've hosted masterclasses online. I've done lots of training online as well. I have got plenty of experience in doing this, so I can share my top tips and things. What happens when things go wrong? Because let's face it, the world of tech, things do go wrong. Before you host an online class, cookery session, whatever it might be, or an online course, you can totally do these for free. Just to add, you could just do them as lives on Facebook or Instagram if it's just about building a bit of brand loyalty, getting a bit behind the scenes. Look at what the goals are for the class. So what is it you're trying to do? If you want to make extra revenue into your business, are you just trying to build brand awareness? Are you trying to entice customers to actually physically come in? So think about what the goals are for the class itself. Think about what it is that you're trying to achieve. What is it you want? What is it that you're looking for at the end of it? Then the next thing I want you to think about is how you're going to sell it. How are you going to market it? I don't want you to design the course, write out the course, whatever it might be, work out the lessons, practice, how you're going to host it until you know it's going to sell. So you have to have a strategy on how you are going to sell it, because there's no point in doing all of that work and then no one buys it, because that does happen. It's happened to me. Sometimes things just don't resonate. Sometimes it could be the matter of you've just not been clear with your audience as to what they're going to get from the course. Sometimes it is just the wrong product. Sometimes it might just be the wrong price point. So this is why I want you to plan the strategy of how you're going to market it, where you're going to share it, how are you going to let your audience know about it? Are you going to email them? How visible? And think about, you've got to do it much further in advance than you might think. You can't just do it a week before the class. You've got to start thinking of these things a little bit beforehand. So if I'm planning to launch a baking course, for instance, I will start planning that and talking about it 6 weeks before I actually launch it. And I always only launch it for about a week or 10 days. So what that means is it's only on sale for a very short period of time before the actual event. because I want to know I have given the most visibility to it. Launching it in the right way is really, really important. And it's finding the right strategy for you. So thinking about how you're going to sell it, how you're going to make sure that people buy it is really key. The one thing with the marketing that is really important is, what are the people that will be attending going to get at the end of it? What is their transformation? What are they going to see when they get to the end of the course? What are they going to gain? What is it that you want them to have achieved at the end? People want to know what they're getting. People want to know that they're going to confidently be able to achieve something at the end of it. So it could be you'll become knife skills or something like that, something that people often struggle with, or you'll know exactly how to make pasta from scratch, or in my case, how to make a perfect sourdough loaf. Just really think about, what is it that people are going to get? Another thing to think about if you're doing a masterclass or a course is to think about how much you're going to put in there, how much content. And it's usually a little bit less than you think, because we want to give value for money. As most food people are, we are usually people pleasers. We like to feed people. But what you don't want to do is overwhelm people with your knowledge. You have more knowledge than you probably realize, and it's more than probably the people that will be buying the course. What people want to see is results. What they don't want to feel like is failures. So be really, really clear about what they are going to learn, and don't put too much in there. Too much, and people will go away feeling like they've not achieved. So finding that right balance of what you're going to teach in a session is really important. It could be just a handful of skills, but think about what it is. So it could be just teaching them how to do one or two loaves. That might be all they need, because you've had years of practice doing this probably. You've had years of mastering your craft. Some of your people that might be joining those online classes have never done it before. So think about how you will convey what you're going to be doing really easily, but not in an overwhelming way. When it comes to actually thinking about the technical stuff of what you need to host an online course, it comes down to some really simple things, and it doesn't have to be massively technical. You don't need a massive film crew in there or anything like that. I do mine mostly from my laptop and my phone. I don't have an expensive setup. I keep everything very simple. I've got a few key bits of equipment that really just help me. And I think about how I'm going to position myself, where I'm going to be, what my lighting is. So they're all little things that you have to think about. When you are hosting an online course, the first thing to do is choose where you're going to host it, on what platform. And what I mean is, are you going to be doing an online Zoom masterclass, or are you going to go live in Facebook, or are you going to put it on another platform somewhere? Think about what platform you are actually going to use to host it, and test it first. Have a go with it. Get familiar with the technology. Don't do it on the day. If you try and do it on the day, it won't necessarily work and you might come across surprises. So think about what you're going to do. Try a few different ones. Find out what works for you, and think about what might work for your customer as well. Who's going to be attending? Where are they likely to attend? The second thing to think about is the actual equipment you're going to use to record. So you're going to need a tripod, probably. I would highly recommend investing a little bit of money. It doesn't have to cost much in getting those little bits of technical equipment sorted out. So you might need a tripod. So if you're thinking of filming from your laptop or your phone, how are you going to be positioned to it? How are people going to see what you're doing? So I actually have a tripod, and I do two kind of different versions. And I've learned this through trial and error. I've tried doing a masterclass on my laptop before. I use an Apple, and if anyone has used a Mac before and has used webcam, you know notoriously the webcams are fairly terrible on Apple products. So find a good webcam for you. But I actually use my phone. My phone has a perfectly good high resolution camera, which works brilliantly for any of these kind of classes. So I can do it totally from my phone. So I have my phone set up, but I also do it so that people can see me. And then when I'm doing things like kneading or doing things where people might need to see closer up close in my hands, I'm then able to move my phone with my tripod, so I try and make it as slick as possible, but I just sometimes switch off my screen for a minute and my mic and say, I'm just going to switch angles. And then I move my phone so it's actually on my hands, so they can actually see what I'm doing. Think about what it is that the viewer is going to see at the other end of that screen. What is it that they're going to get? And what is it that will really help them achieve the results you want to see from that masterclass? So you can get tripods. I think there's a clip. I think the clip costs less than £2. Tripods aren't very expensive. Find some equipment that works for you. So I have, like I say, I've got a setup so that the tripod can be on my face. So when I'm talking or explaining or talking about ingredients, or I need to get that particular shot, people can see me. One of the other technical things you need to think about is, well, I suppose it's two really, but it's it's the visuals. So the visuals, which we've already spoken about, but it's actually the lighting in the room. So how many shadows are going to be there? Have you got a window behind you? Because these all help you position yourself in the right place. If you've got a kitchen, or you're working in the kitchen for your cookery class, or maybe you're renting a kitchen, or maybe you're doing it in your work restaurant kitchen, think about actual how the lighting is. So again, this is why it's really important to test the tech before we do anything. Have practice runs. Look at how it's actually working for you. Is it quiet enough? Does the lighting give you shadows? I have actually invested in a mic. So the mic actually clips into the bottom of my phone. I also have a standalone mic as well, so that plugs into my laptop. But I have a mic so that people can hear me. I know I'm quite often, not that you probably can tell from this podcast, but I'm actually very quite softly spoken. And in my kitchen, it echoes. So I have a mic so that people can hear me clearly and I can speak in my normal tone without having that background echo. Because as someone who's on the end of the line and as a consumer trying to watch a video, you want to be able to hear what people are doing. And I've done classes before where it's been really difficult to hear them, or it's really difficult to see them. If you are hosting the online class as well, I've done some classes where the course host has actually gone so quickly because they are well practiced in what they do, their craft, because they do it over and over again. It's really hard to keep up. And it's actually really, really difficult to, if you are doing a bake along class, think about the pace and the speed you're setting, because people are going to be slower than you. You could probably make cakes at twice the speed of most people. So you need to take that steady. So think about that. Think about the information you're giving. Think about the speed. Think about the lighting. Can they see? Can they hear you properly? Particularly if you're going to have equipment going like mixers. Test all of this little bit out before you actually host a class to see what the visuals and what the sound is. The other thing to consider if you are going to be hosting online is recording the actual footage as well, recording what you're doing, recording the class, because there are two reasons for this. The first reason is that not everyone might be able to attend live. So not everybody can attend live, but they can still book and watch it again later. The second thing to think about, actually, I'm going to put a third one in there because I just thought of another one. The second thing is, if you record it, I know with some of the classes that I have done, baking or cookery, I have watched them more than once. Think about how the consumer or the person watching it might actually use that class that you're doing. They might want to watch it multiple times to really understand. It might be that they watch your class and then they go and have a go themselves while watching your class again. The third thing to think about is, it might be that you put your masterclass on sale and you get people joining in live. But once you've got that class, you can sell it again. Once it's recorded, you can sell it multiple times over and over again. It can be something that people can just buy off your website and download and get instant access to. So you don't necessarily need to deliver it live every single time, because people can instantly access it. And what then you are creating is income without having to do the work over and over again. It's what they call passive income, or semi-passive income in this case. But once it's created, people can just buy it multiple times. So suddenly you've got this revenue stream that helps your business working in the background. There are some bakeries and other restaurants and things that already are doing this. So go check out a few of the bakeries in and around London. I know quite a few of them actually do some of the content. Just have a bit of a Google. See what people do as classes, online classes, that you can actually buy in your own time and get instant access to that you can then use again. One of the things that I know works particularly well when I'm hosting an online class is you don't want them too long. Think about the length. And I mean, I do 6-week courses. I do 75-minute classes. What I mean is when I think about the length, I'll think about how much attention span that people will have during a session. I have been to classes that are a maximum of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and I am losing my attention at the end of that. And that could just be me personally, but they feel too long. And it's quite a long time to concentrate in your own kitchen. So think about the length of time that people are going to be keeping their attention for and how much information you deliver in that time. What else will help them learn? What else will help your attendees learn? So I always include a workbook. I always obviously include the recipes. I include the equipment list. I include the ingredients list. I include conversion charts because I get people tuning in to my classes from all around the world. It's not just in the UK. I get people from Australia. I get people from the US. I get people from the UK. I'm open to anyone joining. So I think about what is it that my customer who's brought my course will need to get the best results. So I give them these resources and the workbooks are there to help people along the class. So I always say, and this is how I deliver classes, and I've taken part in quite a few online classes as a consumer as well as deliver them. The workbook is there to help people watch what I'm doing to start with and make some notes. So it could be like working out what the things they're struggling with. It could be just writing down some top tips that they're seeing that they're really finding difficult. I also include a section for questions. They can write down their questions as they go so that if they get an opportunity to ask me a question, they have already written it down. And they can prepare before the class. It's a good opportunity to sort of get them excited before the class. One of the things that I found that works pretty well with online courses is creating a community group of that cohort of people joining a course. So this helps give support. It means that you can create a Facebook group or something which is private to that one particular course that you can share what's coming up, key information, keep people involved and excited, listen to feedback. If you need to add in an extra bonus here and there because something's not working, you can. People can ask you questions in there because not everybody is brave enough in the middle of an online class, particularly if you've got a lot of people on there, to actually come in and ask a question. Some people just don't have the confidence in that, but they could probably ask it in a private community group of just the cohort. So think about what support people are going to need along the way and what you can offer. The final thing that I would always do with any online class and or anything in your business generally is upsell something to them at the end. Give them the opportunity to buy something else from you. It could be giving them a discount voucher into something. Maybe it's a discount voucher to your own coming in and having a meal at your restaurant or at your cafe or a freebie of some sort, or get feedback on what they found good, what didn't work so well, what they would like to see next time. Find out what other courses they would like to learn from you. I create all my courses based on what people have suggested. I've got ideas of what I think people might want, but I actually ask. I don't create things that people don't want. It's a waste of my time and it's not going to help anybody. So I listen to what people want. So figure out what people want. So keep asking them questions, bring them along in your journey, help them understand what it is you're trying to do and give them something else for them to buy at the end of it. Even if it's discount off the next course that you're going to do or discount off the next masterclass, you could always do that. When it comes to pricing, now this is something that I've talked about pricing on this podcast before, and similar to anything in your own restaurant or business, pricing is subjective. It is what you choose to charge for your course or for your masterclass. But with masterclasses, remember, you are getting more people joining. So think about does the price offer a no-brainer value? With baking classes, usually they're priced around in the UK for a masterclass, around £25 to £35, depending on what they are. If they're like a bread making workshop, they might go up to £100, £120. My baking courses for 6 weeks is £99 or split payments of four, because people would rather do split payments. Think about how much you're charging for a course. You can't, again, the pricing is subjective. It's finding out the right balance for your audience. So really consider that, and also consider how much time it's going to take you to do and how many people you really need in that course to make it financially viable for you. So I hope that's given you a little bit of insight into an online course and how best to host it. And there are plenty of platforms that you can host it from. There are plenty of ways to do it. But the absolute thing you must absolutely recommend you do, must do first, is sell it before you make it. Because you want to make sure you've got people attending before you actually make it. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed that and I hope you found it useful. I'll be back again next week for another episode of Kitchen Secrets. In the meantime, come give me a shout at I Am Baking Boss on the socials, or drop me an email at naomi@bakingboss.net. I look forward to speaking to you soon. And as ever, happy baking. Thank you for listening to Baking Boss Kitchen Secrets with Naomi Rose. If you're enjoying this podcast, then please do give it a review. And don't forget to subscribe and follow. If you want to get some useful resources, then do visit my website, bakingboss.net. And give me a follow on social media at Naomi Rose Baking Boss and I Am Baking Boss. We'll see you on the next episode.